Father, we're thankful for this time you've given us to come together for worship service and for every opportunity that you allow us to serve thee. We ask our blessing, Father, upon those who have been mentioned who are sick, those who are shut in. We pray, Father, if it is your holy and divine will to recover them. We pray, Father, for those who are lonely, the forsaken, and the forgotten. Be with them, Father, even in this time. Be with us now, Father, in this service unto thee. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. If you want to turn to the book of page 379. In verses 1 and 3. 1 and 3.
I walk with the King to heavenly land, the kingdom of God, the pathway of God, eternal His throne, forever to be. To mansions on high, a crown with glory. I walk with the King, through pastures so green, by quiet waters still, to joy confessed. He lieth away from darkness to day. I'll hold to His hand. I walk with the King. I walk with the King, though dark be the way. He is the true light, the kingdom of heaven. Someday on my soul, I'll hear His voice say, come home, my child, this evening I stay. I walk with the King, through pastures so green, like warm water still, soon to His good will. He lieth away from darkness to day. I'll hold to His hand. I walk with the King. I walk with the King.
Before we go to God's prayer this morning, please turn your hymn book to page 808. 808. Sing verses 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4.
Come be then, all of the Lord, and then I join thee all. Join in a song with speed of four. Join in a song with speed of four. And all the crowd of the throne back up. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Let all be you to sing, who never knew our God. But children of the heavenly King, but
Bow with me in prayer. Our almighty, our all-powerful and all-knowing Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father. Lord, we're so thankful that you bless us with the health and strength, Father, with the right frame of mind, Lord, to get up out of our beds this morning, Father, to openly and peaceably be able to assemble together, Lord, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth as instructed in your word this morning here, Father. Lord, we pray that all of our acts of worship unto thee this morning, Lord, that they're most pleasing and acceptable unto thee, Father, that they're conducted decent and in order, Lord, and that the words that we sing, the portion of thy word that we study, Father, that it might enrich us all, Lord, and that the songs and hymnals that we sing will form a most pleasing melody unto thine ear, Father. Our Lord, we're so thankful for the body of Christ that we have here at Cross Street, Father. We're thankful for all those that play a part in the work of the church here, Lord, our elders, our deacon, our preacher, Father, our teachers, and all those that help to further the work of the kingdom and further the work of the church here, Father. For we know that it takes everybody, Father, to have a fully functioning body. Our Father, we ask at this time, Lord, that you bless our brother Norman, Father, as he's going to stand before us here in a few moments. We pray, Lord, that you'd bless him with a good remembrance of the things that he's prepared to bring to us from thy word this morning, Father, that we might all listen attentively to those things, Father, that we might meditate upon them, Lord, and that we ultimately apply them to our lives, Father, and that they may enrich us and enhance us on our spiritual walk. Our Father, at this time, Lord, we're also mindful of our world, Father. We've got a lot of issues that might be on our hearts and minds, Lord, whether it be the COVID virus, Father, whether it be the conflict in Ukraine and Russia, Lord. Father, we pray that cooler heads might prevail over there, Lord, that the conflict might be ended, and that the loss of life would be stemmed. Our Father, we're also ever mindful and thankful, Lord, for all the many blessings of life that you've given each and every one of us, Father. They're really too numerous to count, as multiple as grains of sand on the seashore, Father. But Lord, help us remember that all these things, all blessings, that they all flow from Thee. They're not a product, Lord, of our own perceived greatness or arrogance, Father. And Lord, we're most thankful of all, Father, for Your grace and mercy and love, Father, the grace, mercy, and love that sent Your only begotten Son down upon this earth, Father, to live the perfect life that He did, be the example He was, and ultimately become the perfect Lamb of God and the perfect sacrifice, Father, whose blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness, Lord. We pray, Father, that as we live our lives, we'd always remember Christ Jesus, Father, and that the actions that we do, words that we say, the general conduct that we lead our life, Father, that it would all be a reflection of our thankfulness for Christ Jesus. And Father, as we continue on in our worship this morning, Lord, we pray that You would continue to watch over each and every one of us here, Father, that You forgive us of our sins and shortcomings, Lord, as we repent and turn away from those things. And Father, if there be those in attendance this morning that stand in response to Thy gospel, Father, that they may take the necessary actions that they need to and may have their name written down in that Lamb's Book of Life, Father, while the opportunity will be extended to them. Father, we ask that You be with us throughout the further exercise of our worship this morning, Father, and we ask these and all things, Lord, in the name of Thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Before we partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, please turn your notebooks to page 361. 361. See verses 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4.
Oh, blessed is my Savior, Thee, and in my suffering, would He be born that sacred head for such a at the cross, where I first saw life, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I all the day.
We are here at this time to remember Christ, His death upon the cross, His burial, and His resurrection. And to help us do that, we have some emblems that Christ Himself designated to help us with that purpose. The bread, which symbolizes His body, and the fruit of the vine, the blood which He shed for us. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Father, as we take of this bread, help us to put our minds back upon the cross and to help answer the question that was asked in the hymn we sung. He did sacrifice His life for such a one as I and all Christians. And help us to remember that every day, dear Father, that we have a spiritual life because of Him. And help us, as we take up this bread, to reflect upon the full meaning of it. For we ask it in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Let us bow and give thanks for the fruit of the vine. O kind and merciful Father, we thank You that once again we are able to assemble on the first day of the week to give honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to give honor unto Him for what He did for each and every one of us and all of mankind, shedding His precious blood on the cross of Calvary that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It is in His name we give You praise, honor, and glory. Amen.
We try to serve every Christian. If we've overlooked any of you who have missed an opportunity to take communion, please raise a hand. See no hands. We'll move on to another part of the worship, and that is giving. And giving is a part of the worship. We're to examine our hearts and to give willingly to the Lord who has blessed us so much. Let's go to God on behalf of the giving. Dear Father, as we gather around this table, help us to recall all of the blessings that you send our way. From the time of our first breath till this moment, we have enjoyed this creation that you have provided for us, for the ability to reason, the opportunity for salvation, and for the great opportunity to join together with other brothers and sisters in Christ to bring the message to others. And for that, dear Father, we thank you for the material blessings that you have given us that enable us to carry this mission out. Be with us and help us to give as you would have, for we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
If you would, mark the hymn books to page 999. That will be our song of prayer this morning. After marking that, please turn to page 971. See verses 1 and 3. I'd ask all for the can't stand.
Trials are gone every path, and we cannot understand all the ways that God will lead us to that blessed promised land. But you guide us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die. We will understand it better, by and by. Sing it by and by.
We will tell.
This morning's sermon title is Understanding How God Changes Me. Understanding How God Changes Me. The scripture reading is Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. That's Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. And I'll be reading from the King James Version of the Bible. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, Brother Norman.
Say good morning. Truly, God has once again blessed us to be able to assemble ourselves together again this morning. It's good to see those who are here this morning and those who have called in on our conference call. And if you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guest. We're just glad that you came to be a part of this service and that you've called in to be a part of this service as well. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we again thank you for this day and for your blessings, this opportunity that you've given us to assemble ourselves together again this morning. Now, Father, as we're about to go into your word, that we focus upon your word and the things that it has to say in your word, that we can move any distractions from our lives and just concentrate on what it is that you would have us to do. We pray, Lord, at the conclusion of this message, there'll be things that we've fallen short of. Give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before it's too late. Guide me your word, the things that I say, Lord, you get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Understanding how God changes me. Now, I'm just not just talking about me, but me includes all of us. To understand how God and his word changes us. When you look at Philippians chapter 2, Paul is writing to the church there at Philippi. They are not trying to earn their salvation, but they have already been saved by the grace of God. If you go back and you read chapter 1, Paul said that he thanked God for the precious saints of God. And so now Paul is telling them and encouraging them that they need to keep on serving the Lord. For he says that they had worked in his presence. but he wanted them to also work in his absence. Paul commends the Philippians for their obedience, but at the same time, he exhorts them to continue in obedience. And so he understands the tendency for us to misbehave and disobey when the authority figure is absent. Students tend to become disobedient and unruly when the teacher is absent. Children tend to become disobedient when the parents are absent. And drivers tend to be disobedient when the highway patrol is absent. And so Paul understood this type of behavior, because there are some in the church who will work if someone is looking. And if no one is looking, they won't work. And so Paul did not want these Christians to be this way. He knew he wouldn't be around much longer, but he wanted them to continue to serve the Lord. And I'm here to tell you this morning, we don't know how long any of us will be here. But as long as we are here, we need to keep on serving the Lord. A good Christian is motivated to serve for two reasons. Number one, his love for the Lord. And then secondly, his fear of the Lord. And so as we look at Philippians chapter 2 and these two verses, Paul explains that the Christian life is not a series of ups and downs, but it is a process of ins and outs. God works in us while we work out. It is a partnership involving God, the individual believer, the teachers, and the fellow believers. What do you mean? It's a process where God works in, we work out, teachers work with, and believers work together. And so it is a process. So when we look at Philippians chapter 2 in verse 12 and 13, what can we learn this morning? Number one, that we can learn that life change begins with God. Now look at verse 13. I'm going to start with verse 13, and then we'll end with verse number 12. In verse 13, for it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. God has a role in the life-changing process. We partner with God, but God is always at work in us. When you look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, in Ephesians 2 and verse 10, he said, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. God works in us before he can work through us. And so when we look at this word, our English word, energy comes from the word translated work. In verse 13, in other words, it's God's divine energy at work in us and through us. And so as God begins his work in us, he uses three tools in the process. The first tool that he uses is that he uses the Bible to bring about life change. See, through his word, he teaches us how to live. And if you are serious about changing your life, then you're going to have to live according to the Word of God. You will need to read it. You will need to study it. You will need to memorize it. You will need to meditate on it. But most of all, you need to apply it. Because when you apply it, when you study it, when you read it, when you meditate on it, it will change your lives. And so God uses the Bible to bring about life change. But the second tool that God uses is that God uses the Holy Spirit to change us. The Holy Spirit provides power, the conviction and direction for life change. The Holy Spirit acts like an internal warning system when we begin to make wrong steps. And then like an applauding crowd when we take the right steps toward becoming like Jesus. See, God's number one purpose in life is to make us like Jesus. And the Spirit of God, he uses the Word of God to make the child of God to be more like God. And so we see that. And so we see that God, he uses the Bible to bring about life change. God uses the Holy Spirit to change us. But then the third two that God uses is that God uses circumstances to change us. The circumstances are the problems. They are the pressure, the heartaches, the difficulties, the stress of life. Suffering gets our attention. And sometimes God has to bring us down to our knees before we consider that God is trying to get and has been trying to get our attention. And so the painful circumstances, whether we bring upon ourselves or other people cause them or the devil incite them, are used by God to help us grow in the likeness of his son. So life change begins, number one, with God. Secondly, life change is about training and not trying. Look at verse 12. Notice that Paul doesn't say, work for your salvation. Y'all see that? Because to work for something means to earn it, to deserve it, to merit it. But the Bible clearly teaches that salvation is not something we have to work for, because it is a free gift of God's grace. And so Paul is not implying that we devise our own plan of salvation, or that we work into a right relationship with God by our own efforts. When you look at the verb work out, it carries the meaning to work down to the end point. In other words, which is to work on something continually until you bring it to completion. And so Paul tells us that we are not to merely show up looking the part acting the part, but we are to work out our salvation. So when you in Paul's day, when you looked at this word work out, in Paul's days it was used for working a man. That is getting out of the man all the valuables or possible. The word was also used as working a field, so to get the greatest harvest possible. So today we use the word to describe to physical exercise, so to get in the best possible shape. And so when Paul says, work out your salvation, he is talking about a spiritual workout. He is talking about a spiritual training. And so life change is not about trying, but it's about training. Merely trying to experience life change can never bring about life change. I can try very hard to bench press 300 pounds. Now I know Trey probably can bench press 300 pounds. But see, if I try very hard to bench press 300 pounds, that isn't what will enable me to do it. What will enable me to do it is that I train, that I continually train to bench press 300 pounds. And so training requires discipline. And so to truly live a Christ-like life, we have to order our lives around those activities, around the discipline, around the practices that were modeled by Christ. In other words, prayer, worship, giving, serving, and other essentials to accomplish the life change that we desire. But then we need to understand also in verse 12 is that life change requires teaching. It requires teaching. See, change really happens in a vacuum. Often we need the advice and the wisdom of others. See, for Christian growth, God's plan includes the counsel and guidance of teachers. Paul was a teacher to the Philippians. Because notice again, he says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And so what Paul has done is that Paul has modeled for them and instructed them in the Christ-like life. He was the teacher. They were the students. He was faithful to his calling. They were obedient to his instructions. See, optimal growth occurs when we fall under someone who knows something we don't. But not only that, who has experience in areas we don't and will willing to share the knowledge with us. That's the role of the teacher and the learner. Openness to the thought and insight and direction of a teacher is a sure sign of maturity. And so the responsibility of the teacher is to prepare and to present the truth. But the learner's responsibility is to accept it and apply the truth. The teacher is responsible to the learner,
But the teacher is not responsible for the learner. The learner has to take the information that is given and apply it to their lives. I'm only giving you information from the Word of God. But it's up to you to apply that information to your life. But then we need to understand that life change is a team effort. Whenever you see therefore in the King James Version is wherefore, but it's therefore. Whenever you see therefore, wherefore, you must ask what is therefore. And so therefore is a hinge word. We must not miss the connection between the obedience that Jesus showed in chapter 2 and verse 8. Now notice what he said. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so the connection between the obedience that Jesus showed in chapter 2 and verse 8, but also the obedience that Paul expected the Christians as followers of Christ. And so God expressed his therefore, or wherefore, in verse 9. Look at it in verse number 9. Wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. In the New King James Version is therefore. And so the therefore in verse number 9, God expresses his therefore. But the therefore in verse 12, or the wherefore, is our therefore. It's our wherefore. So Paul says again, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed in my presence only, but not much more in my absence, work out. That's for us. Work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. See, understanding what God has done for us, the death and the resurrection of Jesus, we therefore engage in spiritual growth and vitality in gratitude for that sacrifice. And so, church, as we engage in spiritual growth in relationship with other believers, just as we have a relationship with Christ, we are to have a relationship with like-minded believers who are pursuing this intimate relationship with Christ. Doing what? Seeking to be more and more like Jesus Christ. See, life change is a partnership. God has a part. We have a part. Teachers have a part. Fellow believers have a part. And God works in. We work out, teachers work with, and believers work together. So let me ask you a question this morning, some questions. Do you feel this morning like you are in a spiritual rut? Do you wonder why you haven't grown spiritually? Are you covering the same ground in your Christian walk? Do you wonder why, though you are learning about Jesus, you are not living like him? Are you saying to yourself that I've been a Christian for years, but I don't feel any closer to him today than I did years ago? If you are struggling with your spiritual growth, and a little life change is occurring. Let me ask you a question. Where is the breakdown? Where is the breakdown? Are you in partnership with God? Are you trying to do it all by yourself? Are you allowing God to use His tools of the Bible, the Holy Spirit, and circumstances? Are you in training this morning? Are you engaged in a spiritual workout by employing spiritual disciplines? Are you submitting to teachers for instructions and guidance? Are you engaged with other believers to hold you accountable, challenge you, encourage you, support your life change? If you're here this morning, are you growing today? Are you more mature today than you were yesterday? Do you see any changes being made in your life? If you're still living in a rut, if you're still living the same old kind of way, where is the breakdown? Is it you? Or are you trying to blame it on God? God has done His part. He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus Christ done His part. He gave His life on Calvary. But now, it's up to us to do our part. God says you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So when that one day when God calls us from labor to reward, if we stand before Him unfaithful, when we stand before Him not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, who is to blame? You and me. God gave us a chance. God has given His long suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Look within your heart. Look within your soul this morning. Say, if God was to call me right now, would I be ready to meet Him? This invitation is yours. You heard the word, believe it to be true. If not, Christian, repent of your sin, confess Christ, and be baptized. Then you got to live faithfully unto death. If you're in a Christian, not been living as a Christian should, make it right today, because the rest of this day is not promised to any man. Come right now, if we stand and sing the song of the invitation.
There are some things I may not know. There are some things I can't know. But I am sure of this one thing, that God is real, for I can feel Him deep within. My God is real, He's real in my soul. And my God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. His love for me, His life therefore. my God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. I cannot tell just how you feel when Jesus took your sins away. But since that day, yes, since that time, my heart has been filled, for I can feel His holy power. My God is real. He's real in my soul. And my God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. His love for me is my miracle. And my God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. Don't you know God is real? He's real in my soul. And my God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like a and my God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. And my God is real. He's real in my soul. And my God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. His love for me is my miracle. And my God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul.